Hello again, and staying with the Green Party, its leader Eamon Ryan launched a set of statutory guidelines to assist local authorities preparing local authority climate action plans. Craig, the legislation underpinning this, I think, is 2021. Why this was announced today?
Yes, I guess, you know, the government are keen to kind of give local authorities any kind of assistance they have here. There'd been a bit of ambiguity there. I'd be interested to hear from your colleagues here if they think this will, you know, fill the void where there was one previously on this.
All right. Malcolm Noonan, this is on foot, as I say, of 2021 legislation. It's 2023 now. Is there any, what was the reason for, I suppose, the time, the lag in time between the legislation coming in and this being launched today?
Well, I mean, there's been a rollout of climate action officers in every local authority, and I think that's been an important part to be able to enable this. And I think we saw the IPCC report, a really stark report, but it's following on foot of another and more stark reports saying that there's a rapidly closing window of opportunity to secure a livable and sustainable future for all. Local authorities have a critical role to play in tackling climate change, in leading on, particularly on behavioural change at local level as well, but also in the fact that they could carry out their own baseline emissions inventory and actually lead by reducing their emissions, moving towards net zero as
all
well.
Right.
So I think that's really important to have this in place to support local authorities right around the country to do their work.
And who'll oversee the implementation of it? Because, you know, government may want one thing from local authorities, and we've seen that with housing, but in terms of implementing these climate plans, Who'll oversee that implementation?
Well, I mean, there's within the local authority network, there's City and County Managers Association, there's the LGMA, there are the overarching networks of local authorities that will be able to monitor and evaluate their progress. And obviously that will have to report to the department as well, like every sector will. So I think that's really important that there is a reporting mechanism and there's a line of responsibility in delivering.
And do they have to be voted on by councillors in every local authority, the acceptance of these plans?
Yes, I think absolutely. That's an important, the elected member plays an important part here as well.
All right. Patrick Tobin.
Yeah, I contacted local authorities previously and asked them what their carbon footprint was, and they said they didn't know. And that kind of shocked me that, you know, if you can't manage if you can't measure, obviously, and if you don't even know what your carbon footprint is, how are you meant to then set targets to reduce it? I don't necessarily see that in this proposal from what I've seen at the moment, which is strange, you know, and I do think that there should be very clear targets for local councillors to reduce their own carbon footprint. Also, just, you know, there's many actions that councils take which are clearly not aligned in terms of mitigating against climate change, or also biodiversity as well. If this focuses attention, it'll be great. But, you know, I do see an awful lot of bureaucracy, an awful lot of, let's say, white greenwashing oftentimes in terms of the actions that councils take around climate change.
Right, but do you think it's encouraging at all that climate action officers have been put in place in councils, at least according to Malcolm Noonan, before these come out, there is actually somebody to lead on these plans?
I do think it's a good idea. Okay. Absolutely, because you need expertise and you need someone to push direction.
Breed Smith?
Okay, well, in my experience of being in local authority year after year, they're hollowed out of finances, and councillors are hollowed out of having direct powers to be able to make decisions over very functional things like waste management, water, etc., etc. So in a way, what was issued today was a lot of waffle. It had very nice language like ambitious, action-focused, evidence-based, participation, transparent, all of this sort of stuff. But what we really need local authorities to be doing is to be dealing with the housing stock, to be retrofitting it, and to be dealing with the derelict properties that are all over the place. And I'll just give you one small example. Dublin 8 is full of flats in School Street, Oliver Bond, Emmett Buildings. It's just full of them. And most of them nearly every single one of them need new windows, need new doors. The heat is going out through them. The mould is coming in. It's a real problem for people's health. It's a problem for the cost of living.
So that's
and
for,
it's a basic
for you,
climate
that,
action.
That's the measure for
and
you.
As couldn't to whether even or not do these, that up to now.
Or that, and that's the measure for you as
and
to whether or not
they don't
have
the money to do it.
Right.
And I keep asking, can you not go to the government for the climate fund, for an EU fund? But you need to get proper windows and doors into these flats for the health and safety of the people who occupy them, and for the cost of living measures that
are
and ultimately climate.
Is that the kind of thing you're confident that these climate action plans would address.
No doubt, and I agree with Breed. And I think within what we've done over the last couple of years is put in vacancy officers into local authorities as well. So there's a full suite of complementary staffing going in to local authorities that weren't there before. So it's around ramping up their own activity. The baseline emissions inventory will be there. And I think the housing stock is a critical part of what local authorities do and should be retrofitted to a very high standard.